Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now on 105.9 FM WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle live in studio, waiting to take your calls on anything you'd like to talk about your health. Prevent, you've had a problem, you've tried, you've applied, you've put direction in that doesn't work. Well, here's your opportunity. Give us a call. Love to talk to you. We have a very special guest and a very special program today, and one I think that is going to be extremely interesting to the women in the audience. And what we're going to talk about is an alternative to detecting all kinds of things that can happen to breast tissue. We're talking about thermographic imaging. And, you know, most of you ladies are told to go out and do mammography and things that, in my opinion, can be extremely damaging and invasive to your body. And the false positive, false negatives on them are significant. And so why would we do that? Well, we may get into that later on. But having said that, I'd like to introduce someone who has been with the Rozelle Center for Healing and Thermography Centers of Fairfax for a long time. And many of you know her. Many of you heard her lecture before. Dareth Painter. Welcome, Dareth.
Hi.
Hi. I'm glad that you're here. You know, getting you to in studio sometimes is like pulling teeth, but you made it again.
It is, and I did make it again. Absolutely.
It's going to be fun. No, we're talking about the advantages of thermographic imaging as it relates to detecting breast problems, and whether it's a tumor formation or the potentiality of cancer down the road or things of that nature. And this coming Wednesday evening, October the 2nd at 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax, that's going to be the topic, and Dareth will be your presenter. So here's an opportunity to really learn from one of the best in the business. Dareth, you've been in thermographic imaging for how many years now?
I would have a, I'm thinking about a 10-year, we're going beyond that 10-year mark now.
Yeah, you're over that.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, time flies when you're having fun. Absolutely.
Exactly.
So, you know, let's start out by simply saying and describing what thermography really is. I mean, there's a lot of people out there saying, thermo what?
Yes.
And what is it, and, you know, how is this adaptable to this, you know, in a medical arena that is perpetuating something that I think is more damaging than it is diagnostic. But what's thermography?
Sure.
We'll get into the rest of it later.
So first of all, thermography is simply recording the body's infrared heat. Very simple. That's all it is we're using a camera that's been specifically designed to look at heat and constriction. Oftentimes people will sit there and say, well, it's only heat, but we're also looking at constriction within the body to establish, you know, any anomalies or asymmetries that are going on within the system to identify or at least begin to identify either pathology, disease, pain, helps visualize pain where other, you know, diagnostics aren't able to do that. So there's nothing other than recording of the body's own heat and constriction.
So, you know, I've been around what you do now for
a while,
a whole lot of years. And so let's talk about what really, you know, we're talking about looking at a body's heat index, which is really its blood supply, its circulatory pattern.
Right. And Dr. Pina will tell you it's body Doppler. I had to throw that in there.
If you didn't do that, she'd get angry with you.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, the real terminology is digital infrared thermography, right?
Yes.
And so the images
that are... Thermographic imaging, yes. It's DITI. DITI. For those who are looking it up on the web.
DITI. And so when we're looking at that, you're looking at vascular circulation. So let's stay with the breast tissue for
and now. Metabolic changes. So yes, blood flow and metabolic changes.
Both heat signals.
Yes.
Both heat index.
Yes.
So in all situations of pathology, there has to be a shift and change in tissue. And that shift and change in tissue increases its metabolic rate.
Yes, because of blood flow.
And because of the blood supply. Mm-hmm. So how does thermography register this? Why is it that it's so cutting edge compared to doing other types of investigative procedures?
Well, it's different. It's different than the other, you know, types of testing that we typically do. We're going to leave this focused on the breast area. So what thermography is actually doing, it's looking at breast tissue symmetry between the two breasts. It's also looking to see whether or not there is any outside blood flow that occurs that is not within that woman's normal, and trying to establish, is it static or is it progressively getting bigger and more, you know, within the breast tissue, moving through the breast tissue. So it's looking at changes over time. That's what we call in thermography angiogenesis. We're looking for that pathological process that is separate from the normal vascular aspect within the breast tissue.
So angio meaning blood vessels, mm-hmm. blood supply, genesis, the creation of that
creation
blood supply.
Creation and continuing, yes.
So what comes first, the chicken or the egg? So you have a breast tumor, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's ductal or it's invasive. And this tumor most often
has to have a feeder. So the thermography is actually looking for the feeder. It's not looking for the hard component. That's one thing that thermography cannot do, is to look for hard components. And that's the biggest difference that I, you know, educate women on when they come in to do breast thermography, is unlike the mammogram, we're not looking for the hard component. We're looking for what grew that hard component. So that's that feeder aspect, that angiogenesis. And in the case of inflammatory breast cancer, there is actually no tumor. So thermography is right now, as far as I'm aware, the only technique that is able to identify the angiogenesis without a hard component or that tumor.
So what comes first, the tumor or the blood supply?
Blood supply.
So what you're saying is that this blood supply that starts developing over time,
mm-hmm.
is the prelude, if you will, to
yes.
the formation of the tumor. So if you can see the blood supply early on,
you have a higher chance of survivability if you have early detection. And that's the key with thermography, is if you can find that suspicious activity that's occurring early on. And with thermography, we say within about 5 to 8 years before a tumor actually is evident within a mammogram.
That long?
Yes.
So a woman who goes to her doc and finds a lump or a bump in her breast,
she's
or something.
She's had that in there for quite some time.
And so what you're saying with thermographic imaging, this blood supply, this feeder, if you will, to that tumor before the tumor forms
can be
detected,
yes.
early on.
Mm-hmm.
And so subsequently, and I'm extrapolating, we're going to talk about it a little bit in the second half of the program.
Let me clarify. That's on an active cancer, and that's the key. If it's a dormant cancer, that's very difficult for us to see. But, you know, 90% of what we find is active cancer. And, so, of course, we tell women, you've got to make sure that you confirm that with other testing as well.
So you're talking about a procedure that has a 90%+ accuracy rate in detection.
Yeah.
Okay. Opposed to mammographic imaging, and you can all look this up if you'd like to, is between false positives and false negatives, you're looking at a 20% problem.
Yeah, it depends on which source of information you're looking at, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, even talking if you
because you're also taking into consideration breast density. If most women who have been told they have dense breasts look at their mammogram report, at the bottom of the report, it'll say that they cannot be held responsible for a false negative because dense breast does impact on the ability to see that hard component.
You know, when we get into the second half of the program, I want to talk to you a little bit about, you know, the step-by-steps, what happens and why. But also, here's another question. You know, you do the traditional medical standard of care,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, women need to go out. And by the way, over the years, and as you know this, you know, women were told, you know, starting about age 40, they should have a mammogram every year. And then that got switched out
to
50. And then they said, well, unless you have a family background of it, you know, you have one, maybe you don't have to have another one for a while. The problem and the reason that they were finding is things that we've been talking about for years, is that the procedure of mammography is deleterious. It's damaging to the body. You have 45 pounds of pressure crushing the breast.
Actually, 50.
50. Okay. So 50. And now you have radiation going into the soft, delicate tissue.
So that cumulative radiation oftentimes is the cause of the breast cancer, especially for those women who have HER or HR positive, have the BRCA2 that can be turned on by the radiation.
Mm-hmm. You know, people are saying right now, oh my God, really? I've had, and the truth of it
20,
is
20, 30, 40
tons of them. Yeah. Right. And they end up with many invasive types of cancers because it's affecting the entire soft tissue.
Sure.
And it's damaging. And we know that radiation is a major triggering cause of cancer within the body, anywhere in the body. But now you have it focalized. That's right, in any amount.
In any amount, right.
And it actually increases the risk. After you've had a few, it increases the risk of forming cancer by 40 to 60%.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. That's incredible. So let's talk a little bit more about, you know, why thermography should be an initial look at opposed to doing thermographic or mammography. In your opinion, why?
Well, I mean, FDA will tell you this is an adjunct to a annual mammogram. Now, most of my patients, they use thermography as the initial because they want to see if there's anything from a vascular standpoint that it could be a problem before they go in for their annual. After a while, as you mentioned before, a lot of the women who don't have a family history or who have other medical conditions like autoimmune or have had cancer before don't want to continually expose themselves to cumulative radiation. So they'll do it every other year or every 5 years. Unfortunately, there's some women who avoid it altogether. So rather than avoiding breast health, you know, awareness, they come in to do the thermography. In Europe and most of the world, thermography is the first stop. Now, I'm not opposed to mammography. I am opposed to mammography being used as the screening tool because of the risk factor. So, you know, if you have a suspicious thermography, the first thing my doctors are going to tell you is get confirmatory testing done. Do the sonogram, do the MRI, do the mammogram to confirm what we're seeing on thermography before you do anything. Because your oncologist and your breast surgeons are going to, you know, tell you, do this to do this. I mean, the range is pretty scary as far as how to handle breast cancer these days.
And there's so much. Again, this is, you know, Dr. Tom Rozelle telling you that before you agree to anything, make sure you do your homework. There's so much available in today's world. They're doing things in Europe that they're not doing in this country. They're doing things overseas in different parts of the planet that are extremely effective. Don't be a sheep. But we're talking about something today that is extremely diagnostic.
Yeah, and just make educated decisions. You know, I get a lot of women who come in and they're almost apologetic. You know, I don't know that my doctor is going to approve this, or I don't know if she'll let me do this. And I just kind of look and say, excuse me, your doctor is going to let you do this? You know, you should have a choice as to how you want to monitor your breast health or your overall health.
Your doctor's not your parent or your guardian.
No,
you'd need to know more than your doctor does to protect yourself.
But unfortunately, you have a lot of doctors who will belittle their patients because they're not doing the standard of care or what they feel needs to be done. Now, there are a lot of doctors out there that respectfully, I go to them for their expertise. But if in my gut I feel this is not right for me or not, there has to be something else, it's incumbent on me to go out and find out what else is out there.
Now, you know, just for clarification, because we've been talking about our opinions on thermography and the experience that you've had over, you know, more than a decade.
Yeah, I got a lot of opinions.
You have a few. But here's the situation. Just for clarification and you know, full disclosure, you are a thermographic imager. You're taking the pictures. You're advising women, you know, relative to what can be done, initiated through thermography, but you don't read them.
No, I do not. I do not have an MD or a DC or anything else after my name. I tell every one of my patients, even though I've been doing this for 10 plus years, I know what I see because it's, you know, it's just experience-based, but I always defer to my MDs who I transfer the images and the patient history to, and they do the assessment. But it's like anything else. They are not diagnosing whether or not you have breast cancer or not. They are looking at the images like a radiologist looks at an X-ray or any other type of diagnostic, and they are making an assessment for the primary doctor to act on.
Keep that thought, Dareth. We're coming up to a break. We're talking about thermographic imaging and why it should be your first choice as a screening modality. Dareth Painter, my guest in studio, your host this Wednesday evening, October the 2nd at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax, 7 p.m. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are in studio, and my guest, your host, your presenter this Wednesday evening, October the 2nd, Dareth Painter. She's a 10-year experienced thermographic imager, and we're talking about thermography as it relates to breast cancer and actually extrapolating it to other types of conditions throughout the body. So it's important. Ladies, this program obviously is for you, but it's also guys. Guys are getting breast cancer today. And, you know, years ago, it was almost unheard of. But in today's world, we're talking, depending on the author that you look at, anywhere from 3 to 5% of all breast cancers are male. Dareth, let's talk about that just for a second. And why are you seeing so many men today with breast cancer?
A lot of it has to do with the xenoestrogens that are in our environment now. You know, we talk about it in the office all the time. People are unaware that, you know, the things that we have day to day in our lives hold a lot of these xenoestrogens, water bottles. And you can talk about how, you know, you have to be really careful with these water bottles in extreme heat or extreme cold. Those bottles leach estrogen into the water that you are then drinking. And you're thinking you're doing a good thing for yourself, which is great. Drink more water. Trust me, Dr. Rose, I will tell you that I am the worst at drinking water.
Yeah, we're going to IV you one
of
these days.
Yeah, I know. But the fact of the matter is you do have to make sure when you put that water bottle in your car, don't leave it in there while you go into the office or you go in to go shopping or anything else, because you're allowing those estrogens to leach into the water that you are then going to be ingesting. You look at these Kemlon types, and I'm sorry I'm using a branding name, but when you look at all these luscious green lawns that you've got in your neighborhood, those are all estrogen-based chemicals that then leach into the soil, into the water system. My sister works for a water reclamation company down in North Carolina, and she'll tell you there are certain things that they cannot filter out, you know, completely out of the water system in, you know,
well,
in those areas.
Here's, you know, Washington, D.C. By the way, folks, we are in a water reclamation mm-hmm. area in Washington, the metropolitan Washington area. What that means is your sewage water, your toilet water is being reclaimed, reprocessed, and put back in as part of the drinking water.
Right.
Now, if a woman or a guy is on any kind of hormone,
right.
that hormone can't be completely eliminated, and it goes into the water system, and now your body absorbs that. So that's another source of,
yeah.
of estrogenic impact.
Yeah, you've got estrogens and psychotropic drugs, which is not pleasant to think about.
Well, here's the other piece, too. In our world of pads and devices and all kinds of things, the radiation, the low volt electromagnetic fields coming off of these things are estrogenic tags.
Sure.
And that causes the problem as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, of course.
Think about all the people that put their cell phones, guys particularly, in their pockets.
Their shirt pocket. Or
not okay.
As you, you know, hammered years ago, you saw these women with this bra. I never saw it, but these bras that had an actual pocket to put your cell phone in.
The cancers were horrible.
And they were. And we would, in thermography, we would actually see the shape of that
cell phone
in the imaging. And it was like ridiculous. You were bombarding the soft tissue with radiation constantly. So yeah, our environment has become one where you expose your body to a lot more than you really should or need to. You've got areas now which are going 5G, and I know there's a lot of, you know, controversy about that.
Huge.
Where people are getting sick and their cancer rates are going up, their disease, you know, rates are going up. So yeah, we're seeing more and more. I mean, unfortunately, in my patient base, I am seeing more men with breast cancer, which is, you know, shocking. And I'm seeing younger women with breast cancer, which is another advantage to thermography, is you've got women who typically will not go and do a mammogram because they're 40, you know, they're not 40-ish, and they can't get a good read because at 20, your breast density is much more significant than when you're 50 or 60, and, you know, you go from a good solid 34C to a 32 long, but sorry, but you know, the density issue is significant. So with thermography, we don't have to worry about the density. We just look at the metabolic changes and the blood flow aspect.
And I just want to make a note. If I had made that comment, I would have been in real trouble.
I know, but I'm a woman and I can tell many of us.
Just saying.
You know, we mourn that process as we go through. So I'm not saying anything that a lot of the women out there haven't said in their own brain. So I apologize if I offended anybody.
My guest in studio, your host is coming Wednesday evening, October the 2nd, 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax, Dareth Painter, registered thermographer, and she is going to talk to you about why thermographic imaging should be considered as your first choice in diagnostics, backed up by other things when necessary. And this Wednesday evening, she's going to walk you through that. She's going to talk to you about it. She's going to really take the veil off of this thing and give you the pros and cons. So, you know, give us a call at 703-698-7117. Register or simply go online at rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com. And register, push the button, and we will be back in just a moment.
This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio. We have a very fascinating program today, one that's probably going to get your attention very quickly, because we're talking about a technique, a tool, a procedure that can often detect breast cancers and other types of conditions in the body much faster than traditional interventional mammography. In studio, Dareth Painter, a registered thermographer with a whole lot of years' experience. She is the head of Thermography Centers of Fairfax, which is, you know, part of the Rozelle Center for Healing. And subsequently, we've had the ability, the pleasure to use this technology with many of our patients over a period of many years with extreme positive results. As we said earlier in the program, thermographic imaging can detect the presence of the angiogenesis, the formation of the blood supply to a tumor, up to 5 to 8 years prior to the tumor formation. And that's significant. Dareth, welcome back. Let's get into this a little bit more specifically and kind of recap this whole process of thermographic application and why it's so safe, mm-hmm. number one,
right.
And its applications and why people, women and men, as we said earlier in the program, because guys are showing up with more breast cancers today than ever before,
right.
Why is this something that they should consider as a screening modality?
First and foremost, it's safe. There are no side effects whatsoever with thermography. We're essentially taking a camera, a specialized camera, that is taking images of your own body's infrared heat. Simple, straightforward. There's no radiation. There's no, in the application of breast thermography, there's no compression of 50 pounds on the breast tissue, so you don't run the risk that, God forbid, you do have a tumor, that you know, press on that with 50 pounds to spread that any farther than where it's encapsulated. And, you know, the radiation, the cumulative radiation isn't present in this process. The other benefits you're going to find is there's no age limitation. There's no, and we didn't even bring this up either, is for women who have implants, that's not an issue either, because now we're not going to worry about the integrity of rupturing.
The rupturing.
Yeah, because unfortunately, I've had a couple patients who have had, they've gone to, you know, their mammography, and they've told them, you know, I'm having some problems and I'm really worried. And then they find out that the mammography, the pressure has actually ruptured the silicone into the system. So that does present a problem.
It's incredible. I mean, we set, my opinion, as you know, the medical establishment, particularly in the United States, has set itself up for its own perpetuation of conditions and diseases. This is an example, as far as I'm concerned. Mammographies often are necessary.
Yes.
But they're not necessary as a screening tool. And as a screening tool, they can make things much worse. And we talked about earlier in the program that years ago, when they first came out with the technology, said women should have this beginning at age 40, have it on an annual basis, minimally every 2 years, and then they switch it to 50.
Yeah.
And then they said only if you have a family history, you know, with genetic markers that are present, that you may want to consider it earlier on. However, what we're seeing is this huge increase in cancers.
Yes.
And breast cancers and many other type of cancers, and both male and female. So here's a situation where we're talking about a technology that doesn't add to the risk level,
right,
but has a tremendous tremendous identifying capacity, opposed to false negatives and false positives,
right,
that are heavily into the mammography area.
Right. And the problem is this. You know, you've got this technique that is the gold standard. But, you know, it's funny, when mammography first came on, you know, the horizon, it was not touted as the gold standard. It went through the same process that thermography is going through right now. Thermography, unfortunately, is going through it. It's slower than mammography did. But, you know, the problem I have with mammography being the gold standard is we've done such a great job of, you know, advertising or marketing breast health awareness. And in October, that's Breast, you know, Health Awareness Month. You say pink ribbons. Everybody knows what that means. Susan G. Komen races. Everybody knows what that means. You go to your gynecologist every year. You know that they're first thing they're going to do is they're going to tell you you have to get your mammography. We've done such a great job of
indoctrinating.
Exactly. And you would think with all of that over the years, and I mean, I go back to 1982 when I started, you know, that's when my doctors were telling me you need to start thinking about going and getting this done. You would think that breast cancer rates would
drop.
Exactly. But what has it done?
Increased.
Exactly. Because you have to look at the research that is out there now that says cumulative radiation actually turns on the gene on a lot of these women who have BRCA2, they have HR positive, and, you know, you've got that cumulative radiation that actually just initiates that process. I've got women, unfortunately, who are avoiding the mammogram at all cost.
That's not good either.
No. I can tell you that I have had at least a half a dozen of women who have come in to me because they have, now there's another option, but they weren't aware of it prior to, and they come and they said, I've had this lump for X amount of time. And doc, you know, I've referred them over to you and to other doctors outside of our practice. The cancer is literally eating through their skin. And I don't even have to do a thermography. I already know that
it's denial. It's the ostrich effect.
Of course. So, you know, I want to make sure women are aware that there is something else that is not invasive. It's not scary. It's not painful. And, you know, it's an easy process. You come into my room and we sit there and do a history. We talk about, you know, your family background. We talk about, you know, do you have fibrocystic? Have you had biopsies? We go through a pretty thorough history of your breast health. After that, I have you take everything off from the waist up, put your hands on your hips so that we can cool down the axillary armpit area so that I can get images of your lymph nodes as well. And I take approximately 5 images of all surface areas, profile, you know, front, back. I never touch you unless I have to palpate a visible lump so that I can mark it for the doctor. And I just simply take images, and it's done. It takes me longer to explain the process than it actually does to take it. And then I send it to the doctor, the MD, who evaluates it, writes a full report, sends the images back, and I give you, you know, I send you the report. And then you and your doctor make the determination as to
what next
steps are. Now, you know, we were talking about this earlier. You know, I went through the process. I was doing all the thermographies for everybody else, and I forgot about doing myself. And I had someone take the images for me and came up with a lesion that I was unaware of. And we talked about this. And I was like, oh, my God, you know, this is not what I need in my life. But anyway, I went ahead after doing some proactive measures. I decided that it was smart of me to go ahead and avail myself of all the things out there to make sure that, in fact, I did not have breast cancer because, as you know, Doc, I had a cancerous pregnancy years earlier, and so that propensity of having cancer come back is a pretty scary thought. So I went to go do my doctor and I had talked, my gynecologist and I had talked, and we decided let's do a sonogram
first,
and if that comes up positive, then we'll do the mammogram to limit my exposure to radiation. So I went over across the street, unbeknownst to you and all the other doctors in the practice, and I went in, and literally I was taken in and out of the room four times because they kept telling me you need to do a mammogram. I said, yeah, well, not today. This script right here says sonogram.
And that was from your gynecologist?
That my gynecologist wrote sonogram, and they refused to do it. And I said, ladies, we're bordering on insurance fraud right now because this script says sonogram, not mammogram. And they got irritated with me, of course. Didn't tell them what I did because I wanted to see what the average woman goes through when they ask to do certain things in obviously outside of the order. And so I got the sonogram, but the radiologist was so incensed with me. She only did one side. She was supposed to do the other, and she refused to sign the report.
It's because she's got a mammography machine that's what she uses. That's her standard of care. It's like going to a surgeon, and a surgeon has a knife, and what he does is looks the cut.
Yeah, a lot of them. Not all of them, but yes. But the thing of it was, you know, I had to fight to get the sonogram. And so, you know, the sonogram showed that we did the measurements, everything else. We monitored it. We continued with the care that I had chosen. And then I went back about, 3 months later and had the mammogram done again. It was not there. So they said, oh, let's do a sonogram. I'm like, really? Really? Well, now we're going to do a sonogram?
Well, the standard of care in the medical world is mammography, then sonogram, then MRI.
Right.
And it actually should be reversed.
Exactly.
You should be, you know, mammography should be the last piece. Go in, see if there's something there. Do the sonogram first. With thermography, if you have increased risk because the thermal imprint is there, which is mm-hmm. suggesting that there's an increased blood supply, which is...
And it's suspicious. It could be hormonally based. It could be fibrocystic, but it also could be pathological.
Sure. And then if you run, you do a sonogram, and then even do your cancer markers,
yes.
your breast cancer markers, CA15s and 125 uh-huh. and so forth. Now, if you have something, and that can be done in a very short period of time, you're not wasting any time. And then if you have to, you go to the next step.
Exactly.
But unfortunately, the way it's set up, my opinion is that we're dealing with it's big business.
Yeah. Well, so that was 5-6 years ago that I went through that process.
Right.
So now I've been told by many of my patients, you don't have the option of getting a sonogram. They will literally refuse care to you, even if your doctor writes a script.
Yeah, they refuse.
They refuse. They will turn you away. You have to have mammogram first, and it has to look as if you have, they can't diagnose, but it has to look as if you have cancer before they'll even consider a sonogram.
We said that the false positive negative rates are up to 20% with mammography, which says, really? You're missing all kinds of things here.
But they can't think, this is how it is, and this is what's going to happen. Now, the other piece of it, and I'm not sure you're aware of this, but I'm sure it'll it'll cause a comment. You don't have to have a script from your doctor to get your annual mammogram. As a matter of fact, the radiological offices can cold call you. They can get a list.
They can solicit you.
Yeah.
So we're talking straight up
they don't
solicitation.
Need to know. They do
I want
to
sell you a thermographic imaging.
Exactly.
So, not thermographic, mammography.
Yes.
I want you to come in and we're going to crush
it. Yes, you're due for your annual. Let's go ahead and schedule that for you. They don't even have to know who your OBGYN is. They don't need to know who your primary is. That they can call you and solicit you just like any other business.
There's something wrong.
Well, I just thought I'd put that out there.
Yeah, so, something wrong. I mean, when you put it in that context and you realize the increase in cancer rates, you realize that they're missing them globally.
Right. So what I'm telling you is, I'm not opposed to all of the things that are available to a woman. I think that the screening tool would be better served if it was thermography first and then sonogram and then mammogram, MRI, however you and your doctor choose it to be. We're finding that women don't have that choice anymore.
What happened to the personal, you know, relationship between a woman or a guy and their doctors, and they decide together, as we're advertised all over television, what the best step is for them?
Right. And unfortunately, it's what the doctors are being fed by a lot of the reps that come in. I do have a lot of docs that are very open-minded and very supportive of their patients. You know, there are two this last week that sent me patients because they said, I really am uncomfortable doing the mammogram. And they, I mean, I said, have you considered thermography? Why don't you do that? But they've been educated as to what it is and what it isn't. Thermography has limitations, just like mammograms have limitations. It's great to have all those different information available to you so that you and your doctor can make the right decision for you.
You know, it's important. You know, as everybody knows, my first book, Ageless Health, Health is a Do-It-Yourself Program, was really written for my patients. And I did that because I want them to be educated. I want people that come to us for all kinds of things to really know what their options are and what can be done and to support that system. Here is one of those things. Digital infrared thermography is far safer and not time-wasting, if you will.
Sure.
But it can give you a piece of the puzzle that you wouldn't have known about or seen prior to having it done. It's important. This Wednesday evening, October the 2nd, at Roselle Center for Healing in Fairfax, Dareth Painter, registered thermographer, been in the business for over a decade, is going to give you the why and wherefore and how come and what to do next based on this. And she's going to show you both sides of the practice. And she'll show you some images before and after what happens and why thermography is such a powerful tool in being able to detect breast cancers. This is an opportunity. Go online and register today. RoselleCare.com. That's RoselleCare.com. RoselleCare.com. Or simply call 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. Register so we can prepare for you. I promise you, this will be an evening that will open your eyes and give you another tool to protect your health and perhaps save your life. We'll be right back after these messages.
Dr. Tom Roselle Live continues now on WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. You listen to Dr. Tom Roselle Live. And for the next several more weeks, we are still on Saturday afternoons at 4 p.m., from 4 to 5 p.m. So make sure you tell everybody that until Redskins season's over, we're going to be on Saturdays and we'll negotiate after that. But we really appreciate, you know, that you sending out the message, the word, so to speak. My guest in studio, Dareth Painter. She's a registered thermographer, and she will be your host, your presenter, this Wednesday evening, October the 2nd, at the Roselle Center for Healing. Look, we're talking about breast cancers and why thermographic imaging, digital thermographic imaging, is far safer as an initial screening process to detect all kinds of problems that can occur in breast tissue. And guys, we said earlier that 3 to 5% of all breast cancers are male today, and it's growing simply because breast cancer is now environmental in its triggering mechanisms. And we've touched upon a lot of things, but this Wednesday evening, you're going to get an insight that is going to be very significant. It's going to give you data that you can really go back, and in many situations, you're going to know more data, more information than many of your physicians will. So join us and, you know, give us a call, register, make it happen. Dareth, we touched on a lot of different things. I know you're going to get much more in depth this Wednesday evening.
Yep.
What are you going to cover? Why should people show up this Wednesday?
We're going to look at the myths of thermography, what it is, what it isn't. We're going to show some images so people understand what it is they're looking at. So that way they can make an educated decision as to what are the best options for them in their overall health assessment. Obviously, mostly women. But my goal is to make sure that women don't avoid breast health awareness or breast health, because I'm seeing more and more women who are avoiding going through the process of the typical mammogram, and then they're coming to me, you know, as the last option, or because a friend told them, hey, take a look at this, and then, you know, their cancers are already set and just taking over.
You can take a look at it. No, we said earlier, there's so many people, unfortunately, that are in denial. You know,
they're fearful.
Sure they are.
Yeah.
And but, you know, when you have a cancer that's starting to create this cauliflower bump, or it's broken through the skin tissue, or, you know, it looks like a speckled something, those are all indicators that cancer has already metastasized and is going throughout the system. This is an opportunity to find out if there's a blood supply that's going to produce a tumor formation or an inflammatory pattern well in advance. Dareth, distinguish, we only have a couple minutes, but I want you to distinguish, if you will, the difference and the effectiveness of thermography relative to inflammatory cancer opposed to a ductal carcinoma.
So when we look at that, or when my doctors look at that, they're looking at an image of inflammation where it shouldn't be, obviously. They're looking at asymmetries within both breasts. If there's something that comes up that looks suspicious in nature, they look for almost like a spider web effect of that angiogenesis that's kind of taking over. And when you come in to do a breast imagery, we're going to take an initial image of what you have in that moment in time, and then I have you come back within 90 days to do it again. And the reason for that is we want to establish a fingerprint, if you will, a baseline. But cancer cells typically duplicate every 30 to 90 days.
That quickly?
Yes. So duplicate just doesn't mean that it's going to, you know, it just means those cells duplicate. So we want to look at that window of 90 days to make sure you're not in the middle of that angiogenesis process. And if you're not, if we have two stable images 90 days apart, that's your thermographic fingerprint. If there is some shift or change, or it's that inflammatory process is getting larger and more profuse, then we have to sit there and say, you need to have, you know, other sources to confirm what we're seeing. And then we're going to monitor you another 90 days out and another 90 days out. So until we find out what it is that you have, confirm or deny that this is a pathological process. But you're able to visualize what's going on in the body, which is a key.
Well, this Wednesday evening, Dareth is going to present a program that is going to be not only fascinating, but it's going to give you tools. It's non-invasive. There's no radiation. It's painless. You know, it's an FDA-approved procedure. Join us this Wednesday evening. All you have to do is go to RoselleCare.com and register online, or give the office a call at 703-698-7117. Dareth is a registered thermographer. She's been in the business for over a decade. She has an intuitive sense to her that is second to none. Join us. We'd love to have you there. And remember, we do these programs for you so you have the knowledge, the ability, and the application. We'll see you there. We'll see you next week. Love you all. Bye.